everyone. Welcome to Ugly Betty. My name is Steven.
My name is George.
And George, guess what? We're reviewing another episode of Ugly Betty.
Yes, we are.
And this episode is season 3, episode 16. Things fall apart.
Yeah.
And yes, they do fall apart. Woo. In a lot of different ways.
This was very parallel of what was going on at the time.
Yes.
Because keep in mind, this is season 3, 2008 to 2009. Mm-hmm. And not only did we have the election of our first black president, Obama.
Black power.
Number 44.
Mm-hmm.
We had the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression, also mm-hmm. in 2008.
What we're still dealing with.
So I love that this episode addresses that.
And the following episode does too, but in more context.
Yeah. We got a politically themed 2 episodes coming mm-hmm. up here. And not with the political of right versus left, but just the political of how the court system works and all the hoops you have to jump through to try to grab that federal money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go to hearings, you have to, you have to get approved. So just all the hoops you have to go through.
Wait, that happened in this episode? I thought that happened in the next episode.
I watched them both back.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, wait, what?
We're going to be doing another 2-parter today.
So,
feel free to listen to the next one right after this one, because they really are great time capsules.
Yeah, and plus we're wearing the same clothes for both episodes. So.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a 2-parter in our outfits.
Yes, it is.
So yeah.
Very reflective of the times, both episodes.
Mm-hmm. So where do you want... Let's start with Betty and missing Henry.
Oh, I love the emphasis on Henry's last name in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Did we even know the last name before that? Because
I knew it. Henry Grubstick.
I never really noticed it until it pointed it out in this episode that, God, Henry has a funny last name.
Mm-hmm.
Grubstick. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Henry Grubstick.
Yeah.
I just, I was like, God, that's a funny last name, and I never really noticed that. No, this is the first episode, if I'm not mistaken, that talks about Facebook.
Yes.
Because Facebook, even though it started earlier, I feel like now, keep in mind, this is 2008 to 2009.
So do you mean Meta now?
Well, whatever. It's like, it's like the Sean Combs of social media, just constantly changing the name. But when it was back when it was still Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Now keep in mind, this is 2 years before The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like 2008,
which was a very good movie.
My runner up for favorite of 2010.
What was your favorite?
Black Swan. I loved Black Swan. That was my favorite of 2010. Social Network was my solid runner up. But anyways, I feel like 2008 and 2009, though, was when Facebook really started to go into the stratosphere.
And plus, I think that's when they let Facebook for, general people, because it was just for, like, college students.
Because I didn't get a Facebook until 2008. I was late.
I got mine in 2008 as well.
A lot of my friends got theirs in, like, 2006 or 2007 when they were still in high school. I got mine in 2008 after I had moved to California.
So. And I got mine when I was in high school, so,
So I love how watching this is like a time capsule, because like, oh yeah, Facebook was like really just becoming like a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love Betty trying to take her picture. Betty's unsuccessful attempt at a selfie before it was a selfie.
Mm-hmm. And then we head over to, you want to move to
Go
Yeti?
Go for it, yeah.
Oh
my God, Bernadette Peters in this episode. I love how she tries to make it so sexy and so exciting who's coming to speak, because the original speaker had backed out.
Because a certain husband was grabbing a certain person. Boom.
So I love the emphasis that Bernadette Peters puts on certain
Bernadette
words
Peters,
as an actor.
I would like to have a moment of silence for Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, yes.
Because he means a lot to you as an artist, so do I.
Yes.
And I think the whole artistic community, especially anyone who has done theater, has been influenced by Stephen Sondheim, we would not have all the musicals we have today. We would not have the Broadway stars that we have today without Stephen Sondheim.
I've done one Sondheim. I've done Into the Woods. I did it when I was in college, and mm-hmm. I shared a story on my social media, and I'll share it here. Fate gave me a second chance, because when I auditioned for that show for the first time, I was 15 and about to be a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. My audition sucked, and I got cut. Mm-hmm. And obviously, yes, when you get cut from a show in high school, it sucks when you're a teenager with raging hormones, and obviously all the insecurities start to come in. But in hindsight, it's like, look, I'm glad I got cut, because one, my audition didn't warrant a spot in the cast, and two, you know, had I not gone through the rejection I went through in high school, I wouldn't have been ready for Hollywood and show business. Because one of the things that I always tell people is, yes, you have to get used to rejection. It's part of the game. And especially in the beginning of your career, it's going to happen a lot. And I always tell mm-hmm. people, get prepared to hear a lot of no's. But I always tell people, if you hang in there, if you keep going, keep auditioning, keep going to your acting class. If you just, as Dory taught us all in Finding Nemo, if you just keep swimming, you will eventually get a yes. And then you might get a couple more no's, but then you'll get another yes. And then it's a numbers game. You just gotta keep going.
And he always reminds me this whenever I text him, like at least once a month with a very dramatic episode. Hey, George, I think I want to fail. I want to give up. And he basically said, hey, bitch, don't give up.
Well, I always tell people this is a tough...
this industry is not for the weak.
Right.
And I would like to tell you...
It's only survival of the fittest. Mm-hmm. And 4 years later, fate gave me a second chance. I transferred to California Lutheran University as a sophomore, not knowing what the production was going to be. Find out, it's Into the Woods. I didn't blow my second chance, and I got cast as the wolf. So I eventually got to do Into the Woods 4 years later. So fate gave me a second chance. So So that will always be my emotional attachment to Sondheim. I didn't do any of his other shows, mm-hmm. but I did do Into the Woods, and I would absolutely play the wolf again in a heartbeat if given the chance.
And I would like to say my small my last year of college, I did a independent study because I wanted to, like, get better and better at auditioning and stuff. That was my independent study, like, right. Practice all that. And I wanted to put a song in there, and then the song that I chose was a song from Dick Tracy. Sondheim did a lot of songs for the movie Dick Tracy, mm-hmm. starring one Madonna. Mm-hmm. And I chose What Can't You Lose? I don't know if you ever heard of it. But I recommend you listen to it. It's beautiful. And I don't know, like, him, how he does lyrics, how he does his melody.
I mean, what I tell people all the time with Sondheim is you have to be a very skilled singer to do Sondheim.
Or, and you have to have a very, you need to know how to tap into your emotions, because he...
Sondheim stuff is not, I mean, look, I
it's did... not for the weak.
I did Into the Woods, and we worked on that show for 6 months. The music is not easy. It is not easy music. It is tricky, complex, complicated music. So I always tell people, you know, Sondheim, you'll definitely get a vocal workout when you do Sondheim.
You become a better performer post
yes
a Sondheim show. But yeah.
So Bernadette Peters, or as my friend lovingly calls her on Facebook, because he has a picture with Bernadette when he was younger, the original Queen Bee. Bernadette.
I thought the original Queen Bee is Barbara.
Well, there are a lot of Queen Bees.
Betty, Beyonce.
Barbara, Bernadette. There are a lot of Queen Bees.
Miss Obama. But yeah. Sondheim. I hope, Sondheim, you are resting well in heaven.
And your legacy in musical theater will live on for centuries to come.
And he has his movie that he rescored again, West Side Story, is coming out in December this month.
Yeah.
So yeah, then they're doing Merrily We Roll Along with Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah.
So, his legacy will be forever. So, yeah. But, yeah, back to that scene with Bernadette Peters. Yes,
I love how she'll put an emphasis on certain words when she acts.
Mm-hmm. And I know, I love her line delivery in this episode. And then, like, but look at who we got. A sexy accountant. And I love when the smash cut, it's like, goes to later say, oh, thank you. You really know how to make that sexy. And then she gave the assignment for everybody, say, go through your company's finances, and then prepare to do a report.
And look and what Betty stumbled upon.
And that was the plot, and that made her go down to accounting. So,
I didn't authorize this. I mean, was getting set up.
Oh, let's just break that down.
Backtrack
so,
a little.
So, she goes down to accounting.
Yep.
With Mark. And she said, oh, you guys don't move many places that fast, don't they? Because they saw Henry, and then she talked to the accountant and got all that. And then she was getting all emotional about Henry. So, she got advice from Dustin, say, hey, when I'm in that mood, I like to focus all my energy into something. And then she focused on, you know, doing the report. And she found out, like, it doesn't add up. There's money missing. And then she goes to Daniel. He said, oh, we move money to magazine all the time. And then go talk to Wilhelmina and Connor. And then she goes to Wilhelmina and Connor. And they say, like, oh, No, it's okay, Connor. And then Wilhelmina said, I'm tired of, can you please go? And then Wilhelmina said, should I be concerned about this? Like, no. And then Connor goes to Betty saying, oh, thank you. Thank you for bringing this to my attention. I like the effort that you put into this. And then she signs something. Say, hey, can you sign something for Daniel for me? And then she signs it, and then later at night, when she's on a date with Matt, she gets a message like, huh, there's something wrong with my bank account? And then she checks, there's $10,000 in my bank account. And then she finds out it's from me, and they're like, who authorized it? I authorized it. How can I authorize it? I can't authorize it. And then she goes to Connor and say, hey, something weird. Somebody authorized a huge payment in that the elevator scene. And George, can you take us through that elevator scene?
Oh my god. I mean, the plot just continued to thicken in this episode. So, oof. Talk about, if you thought Wilhelmina was a chess player, Connor.
It's just, he basically threatened Betty. His family, Daniel, and said, oh yeah, I'm stealing from the company. He just gave away all his whole plot, and then like, if you do anything, there's a lot more people that I know you care about more than Daniel Lee.
Yeah. And who really had a great moment in this episode was Vanessa Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I loved about what this episode addressed was love or career.
Mm-hmm.
Can't have it all. Sometimes you can, but sometimes you simply can't. It depends. Love or career. Pick one or the other.
Do you think we can have it all? Love and career?
I think it's possible. It's not easy, of course.
It's probably in our industry.
I think it's possible, though. I mean, I love how vulnerable you get to see Wilhelmina in this episode. And I love how in season 3, Betty and Wilhelmina directly have more bonding moments in this than they ever did, I feel, in seasons 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
They had little moments here and there in seasons 1 and 2, but I really feel like you get to see that a lot more. And they both work really well together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that monologue Wilhelmina did to Betty was stunning.
Mm-hmm.
You get get to see Wilhelmina that vulnerable.
And then when Connor goes to Wilhelmina and says, hey, I've been stealing from the company. And she said, no, you've been stealing from me, not just Daniel Meade. You've been stealing from me everything that I worked for.
Yeah. I own half of this.
And then, and yeah, and then, no, and he said, no, your baby owns half of this.
Yeah.
And then he gives off, hey, run away with me.
I love how, also, you also see another part of Wilhelmina's vulnerability in this episode, which is the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You are reminded when you're watching her with the baby, she has done this before.
Mm-hmm.
She is a mother.
She does have
Nico. She has done the whole motherhood thing before. She does clearly have it in her.
Mm-hmm.
She has done motherhood before, and you are reminded of that in this episode. Mm-hmm. That, yes, you don't immediately see it on the surface, but Wilhelmina does have maternal instincts mm-hmm. in her.
This was such a heavy episode, and everything that Molly was trying to tell Daniel.
Oh, God.
And Daniel.
That's when she dropped the bomb. Oof. Oh, and she wants to push him away, but Daniel's like, don't I get a say in this?
This is just a heavy episode.
It really is, and you get where she's coming from, because she felt like it almost destroyed her relationship with Connor.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't want to put Daniel through the same thing, but Daniel was like, I don't care. I want to be here for you. I want to take care of you. I want to help you get through this. So... that's what I really like about season 3. We really start to see Daniel, especially in these two episodes, we really start to see Daniel grow up
mm-hmm.
and take charge and take control and be a part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's no longer the problem child. He is now stepping up to be the man who has to solve everything.
Mm-hmm. Someone that Bradford would be proud of.
Yes, he is no longer the playboy, reckless son anymore. He is now the son that is continuing the father's business and his legacy mm-hmm. and his leading legacy. So, I have to say, I'm loving the progression of Daniel in season 3.
In general, this was very much a mode centered episode.
Yeah. There wasn't really as much with the family. Now that flips in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
That completely flips the script mm-hmm. in the next. Because in this one, you're left in despair at the end of this one, because everybody is like, oh no, the Meade Empire is now going to crumble because he took all the money.
Mm-hmm.
He took all the money. Now, the richest family in this series has nothing.
Maybe, I think they have money, but the company doesn't.
The company doesn't. So...
yeah, it just left you so sad.
Yeah, I mean, and once again, what we're seeing more and more in season 3 is it's not always something that Betty can fix.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes even the star of the show can't come together to save the day for everybody.
I mean, it doesn't mean that she will help it a few episodes down the road, but, you know.
But I like how this episode explores that. Sometimes Betty can't be there to fix everything.
And it was so shocking at the end of the episode. Wilhelmina called the cops on Connor. It was a trap. Yeah. That Wilhelmina set.
Yeah. But she chose career because she wasn't going to throw away everything she looked for that she was working towards. And as Mark pointed out, mode is your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And everything Mark was working towards.
That's just so... ugh.
Now, was this the episode where we had Cheyenne Jackson, or is that the next episode?
That's the next episode. I love you some Cheyenne Jackson.
So, listeners, we're sorry that this week's episode was a little bit of a downer.
But this was a downer of an episode. But Betty realized, you know, you can... be friends with your ex on Facebook, but, you know,
it's not going to be easy. Mm-hmm. Because as Betty says, later on in the series, she considers Henry her first love. Mm-hmm. Even though she had Walter before she had Henry, she still considers Henry her first love. Mm-hmm. So, what a time capsule. Mm-hmm. This one talked about Facebook.
Wish it was going to be meta now.
Yeah. So, was there anything else from your notes? I wanted to make sure we covered all the bases for this episode.
Well, and now I think I'm missing Elena.
Oh. Does Elena come back in this one, or is that not till the next episode?
Later in the episode. Comes back.
She does come back physically at the end.
Yeah.
Okay, there was another time capsule there. The gift she got for Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant.
Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. That was so...
Time capsule.
Yeah, this made the episode even more sad because I thought of Kobe Bryant and like, oh no.
But now Justin has a jersey. Yeah, rest in peace, Kobe. So, but here's the thing I gotta say though. I love that moment that Betty has with Elena mm-hmm. in this episode. And you know what I love about the character of Elena? I feel like she's perfect for the family because mm-hmm. she can be maternal to Betty, but not step on her mother's toes. Mm-hmm. She knows, I think Elena knows, look, I'm not here to replace your mother. I'm never going to be your mother. But I'm here if you ever
need me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I love that maternal moment that Betty and Elena have.
And I love the thing that she says, like, I'm not, you know, if I didn't believe in choosing love or career, I would never have met your father.
Yeah.
You can have both.
Yeah. So... I feel like Elena is a perfect addition to the family at this time.
I both love that actress.
Yeah. I love her. She's fabulous.
Oh my gosh. And that's a positive note I would have liked to leave that on without further ado. My name is
George.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye!